Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jay here for Shepford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. Joining me, as always, is my venerable friend, Mr. Joe Smith. How are we doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Yeah, I like your top there. It's very colourful.
It's orange, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Factual.
Well, don't start the conversation with that and then not want to talk
Why
about it.
Why are you getting annoyed?
What are we talking about today?
We're going to be talking about Antoine Griezmann from Atletico Madrid and sometimes Barcelona fame, because this is a story that's... It sort of pops up every now and again, doesn't it? Griezmann to United, you know, over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, there's been odd rumblings now and again. Never felt anything overly concrete, but it does keep coming up. And there's the latest rumours, I think, based on an article in The Athletic, which I'll get into, about how he could be a potential January transfer signing. That's if Erik ten Hag can get any signings over the line in January, because I said in my news this morning, there does seem to be a bit of a conflict going on with what ten Hag wants and what Murtagh, Arnold, the Glazers willing to happen in January on the back of the money that's been spent already this summer. So we'll have a look at all that stuff. As always, though, we need you guys to get involved in the chat and the comments as well. Santa Knox says, you are miles from each other. Did you have a tiff?
We did, yeah. We just wanted to, so we could look at each other rather than being sat right next to each other.
Yeah.
Squash it. We've literally been talking to each other all day.
Yeah,
so it's another hour.
So,
I don't think Griezmann's good enough for United.
Wow, straight in with that.
I think in terms of who, how good he is right now,
yes.
He probably, obviously, you know, he's better than some of the players we've got.
Yeah.
But he's 31.
Yeah.
He's been sort of in and out of things across multiple teams for about 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
Like ever since he made that Barcelona move, which was just a disaster, he's not been a first choice starter. I know there's this whole thing about playing him from the 63rd minute or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'll get into that in a minute. I'll explain a little bit about that. I think there's been an impasse on that one.
But he's like, he doesn't start every week for Atletico. I think he's good. He's obviously been an excellent player in the past, but there was always question marks over him, even at his best, when he was sort of 26, 27, when United were first linked with him. You still kind of thought he seems like a sort of quintessential La Liga player where technically brilliant, but he could sort of maybe get the physicality of the Premier League, be one of those where it's like you don't quite see the best out of him. And now he's 31. I just think I can't be arsed with it. And I also can't be arsed. And I know that, you know, I'm sure it could be overlooked, but some of the things he's done off the pitch over the years are fucking questionable at least, aren't they? Like, I get it. Maybe you didn't mean it, whatever. But I don't want United players where there are pictures of them, you know, blacking up, ideally. That would be a decent sort of basis to start from where whatever he meant by it, I don't care. I don't really want that. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just too many things where, like, I can't be arsed with it.
Yeah, there was the blacking up incident where he went as a Harlem Globetrotter to a party and blacked himself up. There was also the footage, wasn't it, of him and Ousmane Dembele saying stuff to the Asian people working in their hotel or something.
Yeah.
Against the Asian technicians in their hotel room. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of them, innit? It's like, it feels a little bit like the Arnautovic thing, where there's a couple of things there off the pitch you go, that seems a bit like an headache.
Yeah.
And then it's the, I mean, let's be honest, the main issue most fans have, and I don't like speaking for the fans, but all right, I'll speak for myself, is whether he's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are willing to go, okay, he's a bit questionable off the pitch, but he's amazing, so you probably stomach it. When he's not that great, he's 31 years old, he's had a bit of a dramatic sort of last year or two, probably a bit further back than that, and also there's this off the field stuff. Mm. It just adds to the air of, is this the answer to any of
that problem? Who can be arsed with it?
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, he's good. He's been very good at times in his career. But I don't know. He was never like, since he left, where was it that he was at before? Before Barcelona? Atletico, but before that, was it not Sociedad?
Yeah, Sociedad he was. Yeah. I mean, look at his.
Since he left there, though, he's never quite been the main man anywhere. Like, he's always playing second fiddle at France, at Barca, even at Atletico now. It's like, I just think he's almost like, it reminds me of like a sort of French Marco Reus at Dortmund, where they're like very good players and you watch them and in certain games you'll be like, Jesus Christ, how have they not got 200, you know, career goals? These are incredible talents. But at the same time, you think you are stuck at Dortmund. You are sort of, you went to Barca for your big move. It didn't work out. You stuck at Atletico. I just sort of think it's not the right player for Man United. We need young, hard-working players in the sort of first or second contracts of their career. I think Ralf Rangnick used to make a big point about that. I think Antony and Malacia, and even Martinez, was he 24?
Yeah.
I think they're great examples of players that are still fighting to prove their kind of international significance. And I think that Griezmann is going the other way, where you know, I don't think he's got the quality of Casemiro. He's also a year older than Casemiro. And he's just, why would you want him?
I mean, there's so many reasons to put you off. I mean, he is a big name. You got Antoine Griezmann. He's been, you know, one of the biggest names in football over the last decade or whatever. But he's 31. He turns 32 in March as well. So if you get him in January, he's 31 until he turns 32. But, you know, he's going to be obviously past his peak. Obviously, probably on massive money. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't. It does seem a little bit like this is unlikely. I'll get into the sort of reasons for this story and then we'll get into some of your comments. So please do keep getting involved in the comments. I'm going to read them shortly. But it's like, you know, where's this coming from and how's this happened? So this is according to The Athletic. You know, Griezmann, he's on loan at Atletico from Barcelona, and United apparently have acquired about the French striker over the summer, and it said they are now considering reigniting their interest in the player. I mean, yeah, considering reigniting their interest is, you know, it's hardly emphatically we're going to get him. There was also this thing this morning, didn't even see on news this morning, but there was a story again in The Athletic, been picked up elsewhere, like The Mirror and places like that, where I think it was Laurie in The Athletic, Laurie Whitwell, was saying that Ten Hag wants more signings in January.
Well, he's literally said that.
Yeah, he said
we're already looking at January in the summer.
Yeah, so he wants more signings, and the sort of the powers that be are like, not happening. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've spent big money in the summer, so we're not going to go again in January. So it looks like there's going to be this little bit of an impasse or this argument. Ten Hag said recently, we have many meetings about the club and the owners, not the owners, sorry, the hierarchy, like, you know, I think it was something like Arnold and Mertz and that. We have to improve the structures in and around the club, and we will also look to the window in January or next summer already.
Mm.
Now, Ten Hag's record at signing so far, I know Anthony's only played, you know, a few games, but he's got it right, hasn't he? You can see what he's doing with Malacia, a bargain, Eriksen, a freebie, Martinez, who's become a cult hero overnight.
Yeah.
Casemiro was a bit of a no-brainer to me. So you can see why, you know, like, okay, these signings have already had an effect. Four wins on the trot. I know it's only early days, but we know we need reinforcements.
Yeah.
Like, we know we're short up front.
And also, we've got to remember as well, like, look at Ollie's first window in his first full season. 5 weeks or six games, whatever it is, into that season, you would have, like, Wan-Bissaka was fantastic.
Yeah.
A massive improvement over Ashley Young. Harry Maguire was brilliant.
Yeah.
A massive improvement over, was it Chris Smalling that had been playing there at the time?
Mm.
Dan James looked like a much improved, certainly
Dan James
wise.
Had the sort of early season form of a peak Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He was like banging him in and everyone's like, oh, this kid's amazing.
Yeah. And then he just fell off a cliff.
Exactly. And that happened with a lot of Ollie's signings and a lot of Ollie's players that he trusted.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It started off brilliantly, and after, because like I will obviously look and review exactly what, you know, Martinez, Malacia, Anthony, Casemiro, and all that have done so far for United. But I won't say they've been successes in terms of transfers until Christmas at the earliest. I think really you need a full season of playing to say whether a transfer has been a success. Even Martinez, who has been, I think, United's best player this season, I wouldn't say that transfer is a success yet, because six good games doesn't make a £50 million player worth it.
You look at the likes of Memphis Depay, player of the month in his first month.
Yeah.
Angel Di Maria. Again, I think he won player of the month or was one of the players.
Cavani.
Like, early season form or early United form for these players was phenomenal. Yep. Even going back even further, I'm a bit older, you don't even remember, I'm not trying to be funny, but
Dennis Violet,
yes, when he came to the club. Veron, first few games, everyone was like, "What? Who is this guy?" Mm-hmm. He was a magician.
First 7 or 8 games, Di Maria was sensational. Lukaku was sensational. So I don't think we can say these six signings have been a success. But what we can say is there are still positions that Ten Hag hasn't reinforced that still definitely need improvement. We can say for a fact that we need a goalkeeper that can play out from the back better than David De Gea. We can say for a fact that we need a midfielder that is more competent on the ball than Fred and Scott McTominay. Even though McTominay is on, I would say, brilliant form, actually. We know there is improvements to be made there. We know we need another striker because our two strikers are a 38-year-old who seemingly can't pass anymore for some reason in Cristiano Ronaldo and a 27-year-old or 26-year-old Anthony Martial who has basically had 2 years off being a competent footballer, and this season has missed every game due to injury, and the 40 minutes he has played, he looked very good. But realistically, the odds are that he's probably going to have a season more like the last two than any of the ones before that because of, you know, how people's careers work in terms of recency. Why would Martial have a 20-goal season this year? He's probably not. So we know that we need to buy these players. And the only problem is, and I think the point that Ten Hag made, and he's made it slightly, I'm interpreting what he said here about talking about we need to improve the structures, is we've spent £200 million that we needed to spend. There's still probably another £200 million that needs spending if we really want to, you know, get a top-class striker in, get a top-class goalkeeper in, get a new right-back, get a backup left-back, or however you want to do it. But we've not sold anything. We've made so little money back. Look at Chelsea, look at Man City in particular. They were on a positive net spend this summer. Man City have got to the point now where they invested so well in the early 2010s that now they can sell players and bring in Erling Haaland and still make £100 million profit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas us, for the last 10 years, we've spent £1.5 billion and we've made about £300 million in sales. Like, that's the structure that needs to change. Ten Hag could spend twice what he does now if we actually knew how to bring players through, sell them at the right time, sell players that aren't working out. Like, you know, Anthony Martial, for instance. I'm not saying we should sell him now because we need him.
Yeah.
But if you think back to the end of the season before last, when he just got, what was it, 6 goals in all competitions? If we'd have sold him then, we probably would have got 30, 40 million quid for him now.
Yeah.
If we sell him at the end of this season, what are you looking at, 15, 20? Like, there's players that we just hold on to for so long because the wages are so big that you can't ever sell them. And I just think that's the structures that he's talking about there. Because if we can't spend in January, it's not because we spent too much. It's because we haven't made enough in sales. Because every other top club is doing it.
No, you're right. I'm going to get in some of the comments. Loads of people in the chat and the comments. Shubanka Parajat, says, for the love of God, stop buying players over 30, although Casemiro rules. Caleb Diterle has been a member of the first team for 19 months, says he's still decent, fits the system we currently play. We currently play well. Just a question around wages as well, if he will continue on like this for much longer. Drew Dennis says, King Motti, thank you. a few people, I think Andy Tate's in the chat as well. Good to see Andy Tate. A few people talking about Waspgate this morning. Yeah, I got attacked by a wasp. Johnny Knapp says, like the video. Yeah, do like the video. Hit that like button. Let's get to 500 likes. Matt Legree says, we need Yann Sommer. Mozan 33 Art says, why not Felix from Atletico? Alexander Isher says, Griezmann is not what he was some years ago. I think it would be a bad buy. Other people saying Atletico won't sell. I mean, he's on loan in here at Atletico. It's a bit of intrigue that. I'll get into that, you know, explain that, because there was, it was sort of all getting a bit weird, wasn't it, with what was going on at Atletico and Barcelona, because he kept coming on in the 60th minute and everyone was like, this is some sort of deal they've got. Well, not deal they've got, but like Atletico have to give Barcelona less money. Yeah. But apparently they've sorted that out. Anyway, I digress, Joe. Because, as you well know, smooth sack summer is slowly coming to an end.
And it's autumn now.
It's all fall, as some people like to call it. Man, yeah. If you haven't been escaping for the summer sun, it's not too late to sweep your sack for those pesky pubes. Yeah? You understand? Good lad. As summer comes to an end and we enter fall or...
Autumn.
Yeah? Keep your boys clean and fresh just in time for fresh ball fall.
Nice.
Or
clean scrotum autumn.
Nice.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just riff that.
Yeah, you did very well, because I was trying to think of something that rhymed with autumn.
Scrotum.
Didn't think of it. Scrotum.
When clean you're from scrotum, Leeds, like you are, scrotum, scrotum in autumn.
Eh?
You know what I mean?
I love my scrotum being clean in autumn. It works, that. Yeah, you've done really well. The leader in below the waist grooming is here to make sure your pubes feel smoother than a beach ball and smell fresher than something very nice. I'm not going to say that line. Start the new season the right way and join over 6 million men worldwide, which I think last time I counted is basically everyone.
That is a lot though, isn't it?
6 million. More than five, it's less than seven though.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Mad how that works.
I know.
You always get that.
It baffles me.
They do that.
I don't know.
It's just
talent, yeah. Trust Manscaped trademarks with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code DEVILS20 at manscaped.com. There's a link in the description, because we've all been there, haven't we? You've had some re-accidents, haven't you?
Me?
Trimming your nether regions.
I told you once, and I bought a £5 razor.
Yeah.
Electric clipper.
Price or weight?
Price.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not lugging it about like some Victorian, oil-powered machine.
Okay.
No. £5 from, I'll say it. Actually, I probably shouldn't say
it. No, let's not do that.
A large high street pharmacy.
Yeah.
Bought it, thought...
A large high street pharmacy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That rhymes with...
Say you wanted, your hair was going grey, you might get your roots done.
Very good. I bought their clipper. Home brand, and I thought, perfect, get me spuds done.
Yeah,
you know, I'm in the scene, and you know what, I like to impress myself.
Yeah,
so I thought, go for it. Yeah. It was like a Hoover getting stuck on the tasseled edge of an Egyptian carpet. It such just sucked all my skin in.
Yeah,
it went and stopped.
Right,
and I was like, it was hanging off. It could hold the weight of itself by how much skin it
really?
Got caught.
And it sucks enough.
I was
a leech.
Yeah, I was inside the machinery itself.
You were like Darth Vader.
Yeah, it was...
Part man, part machine.
Part man, part fucking razor. It was awful. Unpulled it out.
Yep.
Bleeding everywhere.
Really?
And that's a bleed that won't stop.
No, that's not
like,
what you want.
You know.
Do you know what I mean?
The bleed that won't stop, like...
Like the owner Lewis's bleeding love.
Exactly. I thought you were going to say something else, and I'm so glad you ended up with the But exactly. Yeah. So don't, you know, Manscaped.
Well, that's why you need the Manscaped
technology.
Performance package. Because they've got the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Men of my age certainly need that.
And mine.
Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Yeah. Crop Reviver Toner. Mm. Performance Boxer Briefs. And a travel bag to hold your goodies.
Crop Reviver Toner. What's she in Sugar Babes?
Crop Reviver Toner. Was she auditioned, but...
Oh, that was Kerry Katona.
Yeah, she didn't get in. Siobhan got in instead.
Bastard.
I know.
What do people have to do then?
Well, they have to do, if they want to get all this, and you also get the 4,000K LED spotlights, you don't have to use the candles and all that nonsense, which have all been,
We've all been there. They have to go to manscaped.com. There's a link in the description. Use the code DEVILS20. You get 20% off. You get free shipping as well. And you keep things smooth and fresh.
Yeah, I used mine the other day.
Yeah.
It's fantastic now.
Yeah.
Really great. I've had multiple compliments from the same person.
Yeah, that's the producer there, he's praising me for my superb efforts there. Yeah, so you can enter, what do you call it? Scrotum autumn.
Yeah, clean scrotum autumn.
So you can leave smooth ball summer and go to clean scrotum autumn.
Perfect.
There you go. Thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the channel.
How much money do you think we need to spend to be back challenging for the big honours?
You know my thoughts on transfers? Mm. I love transfers more than I love football matches, right? For starters, that's true. I'm not even joking. Like, I celebrate transfers like most people celebrate winning goals in cup finals.
Yeah.
Like,
He took his top off and pissed himself on a central reservation, didn't you? When we signed...
Dubravka.
Yeah. it's like Lee Grant all over again. Sorry for living in the past. But this is almost as good as the Lee Grant
set. Yeah, do you know what I mean? I love transfers. No, seriously though, I am of the opinion United should just keep spending money until we win things.
Yeah.
Now that's, you know, people go, we've already spent 230 million or whatever it is this summer. So fucking what? Spend more. There's always money for transfers. You can find it. You can keep finding money for dividends. You can keep finding money to furnish this debt. You can keep finding money for all this other nonsense. You can find money for transfers and you need it to compete. There isn't a magic recipe that doesn't involve spending money.
No.
People think there is. Oh, you can just, we just get another class in 92. No, you can't. That happened once in the history of football.
Yeah.
Have you had five players come through a youth team, that four of them who went on to represent England constantly, and they've all won the treble? That's never happened before, and it's not going to happen again. No. As much as I love the current crop of youngsters, and I think the likes of McNeil and Garnacho, and although they're a little bit older, Zidane Iqbal and Charlie Savage are going to be great, you haven't got a class of 92 waiting to catapult you to the pinnacle of world football. You need to spend money. Now, in the past, we have misspent money. But that doesn't mean, well, because we've done it wrongly in the past, we can't do it moving forward.
No, the correction isn't, we've wasted loads of money, so let's stop spending it. The correction should be, we've wasted loads of money, so let's spend it better.
Yeah.
Let's spend it more smartly. Let's buy the right players, not let's stop buying players. Yeah.
And also, if you go to Ten Hag, right, and you go, here's your budget, you've got a budget of 240 million quid, then he will make that sign, or he will sanction the signing for 100 million euros on Antony, because you've given him all that money. Mm. If he'd have only had 15 million quid to spend, he'd have probably just got Malacia and Ericsson.
Yeah.
Because he could find those players, he can get those players that are a bit of a snip. If you go to him in January and you can say, all right, we have, you know, I get it, we have spent money, so we're going to give you, say, 40 million quid to bring in a striker.
40 million quid plus anything you can get from sales. Yeah,
I guarantee he'll know someone. He'll know a player that he thinks we can get through that will cost less than 40 million. Mm. The guy's been managing the Dutch league for four or five seasons, whatever it is, smashing it up. He knows not just the players he's managed, but the rivals as well, where he can go, okay, there's a kid here we can maybe bring in, or there's a player there. It's doable. Mm-hmm. And where'd you get to in January? If United are, say, I don't know, fifth, and we've got an injury crisis, are you telling me you don't spend money to try and get into that top four? Or, I know it's not going to happen, let's just pretend. You're challenging for the title, yeah? Anthony's tearing it up. He's banging in loads of goals and he gets an injury that rules him out for 3 months. We're not buying anyone. Forget the title race. Just, no. Come on, man. You know, there's always a way. Do you know what I mean? No matter what. So I don't buy into this idea that because we spent loads of money in the summer, regardless of anything, we can't spend it again in January. We can. And that's what Ten Hag was saying.
Yeah.
He was saying that. You know, we should, you know, we're looking at January. And I think he's right. Adam Sharp says, Charlie Welling scoring the winner for Oldham on Saturday. Great finish as well. Cosmic says, afternoon, dynamic duo. Ryan Rogan says, what's funny is no one wanted Gakpo until we got linked with him. Yeah, I get it. Like, we've spent money. I'm not saying we haven't. But I just feel like, you know, if needs must, we've just got to keep going.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there's ways and means. And you know what? If you can't afford it, yeah, Joel or Avram or whoever it is that's sanctioning these signings, because it's not their money, it's ours. Here's an idea. Sell the club and fuck off, and someone else can sanction these signings who's got money. Because the Glazers haven't got any, have they, other than ours? Who's got our money? So it's all doable. It's all manageable. There's a way to do it.
yeah, get involved in the chat in the comments and let us know what you think. I know it's, you know, I'm being slightly sort of simplifying the argument there, but I just love transfers, mate. Yeah. Just love them, mate.
They are fun though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Even though, obviously, the football's better, but transfers are fun.
Yeah. What's your favourite ever United transfer in your lifetime that we've done?
The one that excited me the most?
Yeah.
The first one I really remember was Ruud van Nistelrooy.
God, I feel old.
I remember we were in the car park at the Priory in Worksop. It's like the sort of shopping centre.
All right, okay. It's not the alcoholic clinic.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
No, or the Priory, which is actually like almost a 1,000-year-old church. It's got pretty good historical significance, actually, as it works out. But we weren't there.
Right.
There's a Pitycock's clothing store, a Wilco, a Quick Save.
Is it one of them?
It's one of them.
It's like an Arndale.
Yeah, WH Smith's.
Yeah, it stinks of a precinct or an Arndale.
Yeah, so Salford Shopping City.
Yeah.
Imagine that kind of area. Yeah. So we were there, listening on the radio. I remember the deal fell through.
Yeah.
12 months later, we come back in for him. We've got him. What was it? 12 million, 18 million, something? I remember it was a lot at the time.
It was, yeah.
And signing him, and I remember immediately I loved him. My favourite player. I used to play up front for school. He was a new striker for United, just banging goals in all the time. Yeah. You know, when you're at school, like, oh, I'll be this guy, I'll be that guy. Yeah. Pretending you've been. I was Van Nistelrooy every single day in the playground.
Yeah.
So for me, even though the transfer itself didn't have this sort of magnitude that it does now, that Van Nistelrooy one was right up there for me because of how good he was as well. The other one that actually I really liked, sorry to
answer. No, go on. It's all right. There's not a limit.
The Owen Hargreaves transfer.
Right. Okay.
Which again, I know it's not Falcao or whatever, but we were on holiday in like a caravan park somewhere in England.
Yeah.
And every single morning, me and my dad would go to like the little, like, you know, the little shop that's there where you get like a bit of jam or like a lemon curd or something.
Yeah, yeah. I've had lemon curd for years.
Yeah, we get a bit of lemon curd, get a bit of milk, and we used to get the newspapers every day and read all the transfer rumours every single day. And we're there for a week. And over that week, it went from being like, United are interested in Owen Hargreaves to United are going to sign Owen Hargreaves, basically. And it was a nice little bonding moment. Me and my dad walking to the shop every morning, reading the newspaper that we're going to sign Owen Hargreaves. And then again, for that season, fantastic.
I love that. I love that story. I love that your dad... so close, especially when it comes to football. I was like, oh, my dad, and still am.
Yeah.
So, you know, we always chat about the football, and he took me to Old Trafford when I was little.
What's yours?
There's two that stick out for me, signings-wise. Mm. One was Eric, just because of the shock factor. And I didn't realise how good he was at the time.
Did anyone?
I don't know. People now will say, oh, well, I always thought he was the key at Leeds. I didn't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the thing to remember is he scored... It's almost like, I think there's a charity shield for Canada that really catapulted him because he scored a hat-trick then against the Scousers, I think, in the charity shield. And then because of the back end of that season for Leeds when they'd won the title, he'd been a very good player for them. But, I think he scored like 3 goals or 4 goals. So it wasn't like he was the only reason. He was obviously, they wouldn't have done it without him. There's no doubt about that, even though they probably claim it now because they hate him. So when we got him, I was like, wow, he looks like, I knew he was a mint player. I just didn't realise how good he was. Until you saw him week in, week out.
Yeah.
And you've got to remember that at the time I was, 12? And not every game was televised.
No.
So I wasn't watching Leeds every week. Because you
couldn't.
And watch them when they played United.
Unless you're going to Elland Road.
Yeah.
You physically can't watch United.
I think the Charity Shield was televised, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, when we had the title running with them, a couple of games were where I'd watched them. But I'd only seen, like, probably 6 games featuring him or whatever. Maybe a little bit more. So that was like, right, Eric's Cannonite's coming here. Mm. Nice one. But Andy Cole was the big one for me because I was 15, I think, when we bought him, 14, 15. And he was amazing at Newcastle. He broke all his records, scored so many goals. Just great, great young player. And then I remember getting home from school and it was Evening News. Back when Evening News was just a proper reputable paper. I dropped through the letterbox or whatever, or I can't remember what dad had bought it. And he just said, you know, Andy Cole signs for United. And I was just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I rang one of my mates and I was like, what's going on? Have you seen this? Andy Cole is great. Because he'd had a little bit of a drought at Newcastle, like where he's gone like 6 games without a goal or whatever. But he was still like prolific. Mm. Like, how have we got him? How have we got Andy Cole? This is amazing. And then obviously, you know, it took him a little while, but eventually the rest is history. So those are the two that proper stand out. I mean, there's been loads like you. Rude was a great one.
Van Persie
was great. It's funny because I had Dave McDonald on the channel the other day, and I was saying to him, I don't ever said it on air or before we were recording. I can't remember, but I said to him about the Van Persie one. I said, I remember reading his story saying United signing Van Persie. I'm tweeting, that's never going to happen. You're talking rubbish. Because I just thought...
Classic Jay.
Yeah. So thought there's no way Arsene Wenger is going to sell us Robin Van Persie. He'll let him rot in the reserves for a year before he sells him to Manchester United.
I think that was one of the things that kind of had it for him at Arsenal, you know, Wenger. That final thing of... I know he was there for another few years after that, but that was such a moment of like, oh, fuck it. This whole United-Arsenal rivalry is just so far in the past now that I will sell you our best player to basically guarantee you a league title. That's like just giving up, innit?
I think as well, that was proper 4D chess from Fergie.
Yeah.
Fergie stopped being his enemy, started being dead nice to him. I remember programme notes telling United fans to stop singing Andy Wenger chants because some of them were pretty grim, to be fair. They appeared at like the LMA Awards or whatever, and he praised him.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, what is going on with Fergie? Why is he just starting being nice to Arsene Wenger? And he's like, oh, you know, we used to hate, but I hated him because I respected him and he's such a good rival. And he's just sort of thawed. And you thought, oh, maybe it's because Arsenal aren't the force they were. But Fergie didn't care about that. Fergie hated people forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He don't care whether you're a rival or not. If he didn't like you, he didn't like you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When Rafa Benitez
There's
was...
plenty of people that were never rivals that Fergie hates.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, no matter where Rafa Benitez was, he didn't like him.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, you know, and then they get to the point where it's like, you want to buy Robin Van Persie off him. And, you know, and then Fergie sort of made it out like Wenger was won that deal.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, he should have been a poker player or whatever. Or, you know, he had me over, I think, 27 million or whatever it was for a title, basically, for a league title. And also removing any chance Arsenal had of winning the title.
Because
as soon as he sold him, it was done.
Yeah.
I thought I was so, so clever from Fergie because, you know, without Van Persie, we don't win that last title.
No.
Do you know what I mean? People get involved in the cup. Loads of people. Ed C says Wenger's first decision of his career. Jordan Clark says David May, Blackburn best player. Ryan Rogan says, strange signing, Alan Smith. Santa Knott says, signing Varane was huge, a proper Galactico. That was huge. He'd won Lazio the title that season in Serie A. And I honestly thought when we bought him, we were never going to lose a game again. We didn't win the league that year. What's the strangest signing you've seen? It's a really good point, that.
Strangest? I don't know. There's been some odd ones, haven't there? Like, Michael Owen was odd. That felt weird at the time. It's like, why is this happening? I couldn't quite get my head around that. Probably Michael Owen, for the ones I've seen.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know. You've played for... You're Liverpool, not legend, but you've done all your best work at Liverpool. You've not really been that good for 10 years. And we're going to bring
it came
you
on the back of his brochure as well, didn't it? So he was being mocked because he brought out this brochure saying, you know, come and sign me. And I, you know, I've got charisma. I've, you know, got brand recognition. And to be fair, it was like, I hate Michael Owen. But it's kind of the thing that people, or, you know, it's like a LinkedIn, but not on LinkedIn, like in a hard copy. And also for a footballer, it's like, right, what are you doing? But I remember when I used to live with these lads at uni, and one of them had said, Kenny, my mate, said, you know who you should go for in the summer? Michael Owen. And I laughed at him.
Yeah.
I said, that's stupid. I said, hey, he'll never, ever come.
No.
You know, he's a Liverpool, like, pretty much a Liverpool legend.
At that point, he was.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, they hadn't won the league then.
No.
They were one less Champions League down as well.
Yeah.
He was like, basically, him winning the Ballon d'Or was probably the second best thing they'd won after the Champions
League. And he broke
loads
of records, hadn't he?
Yeah. Like, he was... Yeah.
I think he'd left slightly under a cloud, but that put that more down to him and Benitez not getting on rather than him hating a club or whatever.
Yeah.
So there was still an element of, you know, respect. And he could have, you know, had he gone back to Liverpool, I think they would have liked him. So I was like, that never happened. And I remember, like, the odds on him coming to United were like 40-1 or something. And then within an hour of the day it happened, they'd gone to stop taking bets. Some had leaked. Like being spotted at Carrington or whatever. And then you try and convince yourself this is a good signing. Oh, well, if he stays fit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, he could get more goals than Tevez this season anyway. It's nonsense. But yeah, that was an odd one because of, like you say, the Liverpool connections. It's very rare in it that a player, I know it wasn't between the two clubs directly.
You know, that hasn't happened since like the 50s.
Oh, it was the last player to sign for... Between the clubs, to move between the clubs.
I can't remember what I think it's in 1950 something. But yeah,
I know this doesn't make.
I love that how it just is. You just cannot do it. You just cannot go from Liverpool to Man United or vice versa.
I'm looking at it now. Sorry. Phil Chisnell. There you go.
When was that?
1964.
Sorry.
And that was when I think you would have probably had Bill Shankly and Matt Busby then, and yeah. Those two were very close.
And also back in those days, being a footballer for 10 years didn't set you up for life the way it does now. You couldn't quite pick and choose quite as much as you can now. Like a footballer can earn 40 grand a week almost in any top flight league in the world. Back then, you finish playing football, you got another job.
Yeah.
So like if Liverpool came to you or United came for you, it's local, you don't have to move house, which you can afford to, but you're not earning huge money. And you know that used to happen a lot more often, didn't it? Players playing for United and City, or playing for Liverpool and City, or playing for Arsenal and Tottenham, because it was just a job more than it was now a life and sort of generation wealth changing thing.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. It is. It's mad how it's evolved. Some great shouts here. Some of them, like Liam Clark says, William Prunier. Like, I remember him when I was a kid. Came on loan, I think, for 3 games. French defender. We needed cover. Came in for 3 games. I think we actually won the games he played. I might be wrong. But he's always used as a sort of weird one. But loan signings are a bit different anyway, because sometimes you bring someone in because he's mega short and it's like, here's someone who's available.
Like Larson.
Yeah. Someone's mentioned Henrik Larsson. Saying he was a good signing is just a bit strange.
It was weird. I tell you what also was really odd weird. One.
Fantastic player, though, say Sean McGrinder. Yeah.
Laurent Blanc was a weird transfer. I remember at the time, I mean, I was very young, but I remember my dad's reaction to that was like, what is... We're signing a 33-year-old, 34-year-old centre-back who is, if nothing else, a top player way past his best to replace Jaap Stam, who at that point was, you know, I would say arguably, but him and Desailly, probably the best two centre-backs in the world, or considered to be at the time. And it's like, we got in a well past his best Laurent Blanc.
35.
That was odd. 35.
That's, do you know what it is, though? This, Fergie did this a few times, right? And I think there's an element of this with Owen. Fergie wanted a player for years, and he'd tried to sign Blanc since 1996, and eventually got him 5 years later.
When he was 30.
Yeah, which is still like, okay, I get it.
He was a bit of a Rolls-Royce.
And I think, the thing with Blanc was everyone sort of thought about Blanc. He doesn't need his pace to get him out of trouble.
No.
He's like a Steve Bruce-type character who reads the game really well.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And can just be sort of, that command influence at the back. And also when you've got young defenders like Wes Brown. I think Wes had suffered an injury, but, you've got Wes Brown or someone who's young, who's got legs, who can play alongside him. Then it kind of makes sense. He had a bit of a difficult time at first. It sort of leveled off a bit.
It wasn't that bad, actually. From what I remember, obviously, it was my sort of early years watching United because I was seven.
I think early doors, I'm just looking at some stats here. I forgot about this. Yeah, we suffered 5 defeats by December 2001. Bloody Don't forget, with the reigning champions, we'd won 3 in a row.
Yeah, and the year before that, by the way, is Fergie's highest ever points total as Man United manager. We got 91 points, I think it was, in 2000. And so we were by far the best team in the country.
And people pointed out that the 5 teams that have beaten us, Bolton, Liverpool, Arsenal, Newcastle and Chelsea, spelt Blanc. So,
is that real?
According to it also Wikipedia, I don't remember that.
Clamb. But, we didn't have a player called Alan Clamb. We'd sold him the season before, Jay.
Ed C says, Blanc was a solid 6 out of 7 every week. Alex King says, Cleberson or Djemba, odd signings. See, those were signings based off internationals, I think. Djemba was Cameroonian, wasn't he? Fergie went through this stage in like the early noughties where he bought a load of youngsters. So you had the likes of Liam Miller, God rest him, David Bellion, Cleberson was relatively young. Your man there, Djemba, some kid called Cristiano Ronaldo, don't know what happened to him. So it was like, okay, I don't know if it's a reaction to Chelsea getting all this money and it's like, well, we'll, try and build for the future. And of all those players, obviously, amongst all that nonsense, was one of the greatest players of all time. I don't think it was that strange we got him. You know, especially considering Clemerson, we were talking about this the other day, was a World Cup winner and played in every game, I think, in the World Cup, and hit the bar in the final. Martin P says, come on, Bebe has to be up there.
That was weird.
He also says, Obertan, Bellion and Clemerson. Bebe was weird.
Yeah.
Especially for the fee that was suggested.
It's 8 million quid, wasn't it?
Something like 7.5, something like 8.
Yeah.
But people were like proper questioning that because the kid had played no real top level football at all. And then there was these rumours that he'd, I don't know if it's true, that he'd been in the Homeless World Cup and all this other stuff. Yeah. And it was like, why? And then it was like, oh, well, Carlos Queiroz is, and then Real Madrid were in for him. It all got a bit shady.
Yeah.
And, you know, had we bought him for like 50 grand, you'd go, all right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one, here's one for you. Older fans might remember this one. Graham Tomlinson.
As he sips his tea to Graham pause for Tomlinson. Effect. Who's Graham Tomlinson?
In 93, when we won the title.
The Premier League title?
Yes, the Premier League title.
The Premiership.
The one that Liverpool have only ever won once.
That's the one. Same amount as Leicester?
Yes.
Same amount as Blackburn?
Yeah. It's weird, that, isn't it? How you don't ever hear those teams considered to be the greatest Premier League teams ever, yet you constantly hear that argument being put forward for the Scousers, for the Liverpool team that's won one Premier League title. Graham Tomlinson. He signed for Man United for 100 grand. Sorry, not in 93. In the summer of 1994, played one game against Port Vale. He came on as a substitute. He was at the club for about 4 years. And he just went alone a lot of times. And then,
how old was he?
When we signed him in 1994, what was he? So he would have been about 19, 20.
Where from?
Bradford City. He scored 6 goals in 17. He's a striker. He scored 6 goals in 17 Division 2 games. And we bought him for 100 grand.
What?
That's what I mean. It was so, I remember, right, I used to get the Man United magazine.
Whose mate is he?
Like, and I remember, like, it was like United summer signing. Graham Tomlinson. And this is before the days of the internet.
Which sounds like the owner of a carpet shop.
Yeah. So you're like, right, okay. Who the hell is Graham Tomlinson? And why have we bought him? And it was like, I can't remember how the stats in it or that. But I always remember Graham Tomlinson, right, okay, yeah. United summer signing, this youngster. And I was like, I used to think now and again, like, whatever happens to him? I don't remember seeing him ever.
No.
At United or hearing about him or, you know, you get...
I've never heard that name.
Yeah, exactly. And you're a very well-read Manchester United fan who, you know, knows a lot about things that happened before your time.
Yeah.
But literally, people forget he existed.
Yeah.
And I'm not being tired of the guy because he might have only played one game for United, but it's more games than any of us have played. But it was like, what happened there? How did he end up at
Where
United?
Where did he go afterwards?
So he went, right, we bought him in 1994. He played that game against Port Vale. He had a brief loan spell at Wimbledon, featured in their 1995 UEFA Intertoto Cup squad. He then returned to Old Trafford to play in the reserve team. He went to Luton, and then he went on loan to... he did have an injury, to be fair, in 96. He suffered a leg fracture. He went to Bournemouth, Millwall. And he went to left Old Trafford when his contract expired. And then he went to Macclesfield, then Exeter City.
He did the full length of his contract at United.
Yeah. And he went through the right. He went from one extreme to the other. So he started off at Bradford, goes to United, goes on loan to Wimbledon, Luton, Bournemouth, Millwall. Then he goes to Macclesfield Town. Then he goes to Exeter City. And he's not that old as well by this time. Like, I'm trying to do the maths right here. So when he's 27, he's playing for Stevenage Borough. Now, admittedly, he's had an injury, so you might just say he lost a little bit. But it just seems a little bit strange. Like, this guy, like, who... I can't speak for everyone, but a lot of people be like, what?
Like, I think it's fair to say that over 50% of United fans won't have heard of
him. He's such a sort of niche person. Like, Graham Tomlinson, never heard of him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Steve's probably done a scouting video on him, but...
he's still got something in him. There's still enough left in the tank.
Or Steve's probably getting him to play for Paddock because he's 46 now. He's a coach, I think.
Of course.
I mean, the things that, like, I've done, I did a Q&A once with Bojan, and Bojan says, like, Jordic, you played twice for United. And he says, sometimes he gets stick off people, go to him, how many times did you play for United? And he says his response is, how many times did you play for him?
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair enough, because imagine just playing for United once.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's like, people are, oh, why are you still banging on about playing for United? You only played twice. We bang on about Man United all the time. Everyone I know that's a United fan, all they do is talk about Man United, and we've never played for him. We've never trained for him. Like, we've never been in the, you know what I mean? Like, you've never been in the team, in the squad, anything. And yet, you know, we're surprised when someone who's played twice for Man United still talks about it.
Yeah.
That's all I talk about.
Yeah.
All I talk about is Man United anyway.
Also, I've done Q&As with several players, right? Bojan has played twice for United and he's one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And he's just, and he's had a colourful career and he's won trophies abroad and stuff. But he's genuinely ace. He's just a great guy. And like anyone he meets, he walks into a room, he's just like your best mate. So, you know, this whole thing, oh, we only put, what have you got to talk about? He's got some great stories because he was such a character. And he won like the Jimmy Murphy Player of the Year Award. Do you know what I mean? It's not like he was one of the youngsters who was like, oh, this guy's going to be the next big thing. Didn't quite happen for him, but a proper character. Shane Tomlinson says, that's mad that. Wish I was related to him. Some long lost uncle. Lol. Who's your Wally of the Week, my friend?
Whoever decided that we couldn't play Leeds at the weekend. Because just do it.
Would you not? I understand your argument. And I love playing Leeds because we batter them. I don't love going to play them away, but I love playing them. There's an argument being put forward that, okay, this weekend made sense. The previous weekend was the Palace game was the weird one because it was so far away from anything that would have affected.
No, because the reason why that one
made... The policing of Her Majesty's
funeral. Neither of them made sense.
Okay.
But for me, the one that made... The Palace one made more sense because no games were played that weekend. The Premier League just went, we're not having it. Like, it's all off. Out of respect, it's all off. And whilst I thought, I don't really know what respect that is showing, especially when other, you know, top flight sport is being played, cricket, rugby still went ahead. So I didn't quite get it. I don't agree with it, but I can see why United's game specifically was called off. This weekend, City played, Tottenham played, who else did play? Fulham played.
You know what the sad thing is as well? Like, I know people don't want to admit this, and this is always happens with United. When you've got a real reason why it might affect you, people just go, it doesn't matter, we should win anyway.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're going to go into that City game having, what, 16-day gap?
I know.
Now, yes, we can have behind-the-closed-doors games. I'm pretty sure we will. Do you know what I mean? Probably play, you know, a Macclesfield or whoever and get a team in and play McCarrington or whatever. But, you know, we have missed two games there. City, in the meantime, have had, was it Dortmund? Mm-hmm. They've had, who did they play at the weekend? Was it Wolves?
Yeah.
They've had two competitive, top-level games. Mm. And then we're going to go and face them. And we're a team that's new with four or five players that, you know, have only played five times for the club or whatever. Going up against a City team that's a well-oiled machine with one of the best strikers in the world leading the line for him. It's going to be very difficult, to say the least.
I did a video about this yesterday about how that I think United, obviously, they need time on the pitch to gel. That you can't. There's no replacement for that. But I think this basically month off that some players have had Premier League games anyway, it's almost a month.
Yeah.
Or it's almost like a pre-season. When you think pre-season was, what was it, start of January to start of August, that was the pre-season, wasn't it? And the first game was the 7th of August. We've basically got another pre-season. So the players like Ronaldo, like Eriksen, Martinez, Casemiro in particular, Antony in particular, Dubravka, had zero pre-season. Eriksen had played a bit bits and bobs here and there, but missed a good chunk of it. Now he's like, go to Carrington, get in the teaching rooms, learn what you need to know, get it so that things are, you know, unconscious where you know where the runs are going to be, learn Ten Hag style.
Yeah.
He's not the sort of manager that I think needs players playing quite as much. Someone like Jose, I used this example yesterday, is such a motivation and emotion-based manager that he gets his players, come on! That's how he gets good performance out of players. Ten Hag is much more mathematical and tactical than that.
Yeah.
So I think the more time you have learning his approach, the better. Obviously, City, you know, they're at that stage already.
I agree with that. My worry is, and you're right in what you're saying, but my worry is City are the sort of team that could be 3-0 up in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we're still finding our feet.
You know for certain, by the way, that Haaland is going to beat Martinez in the air and score a goal.
That'll be the narrative forever.
Yeah.
And they could come at us, you know, it's away, innit? It's at the Etihad.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the one game where they all turn up for that one, don't they? It's the only sellout they're guaranteed. So they get at us straight away. And if we don't weather that initial storm, they get a couple of early goals. We've seen them do it against Real Madrid. They got 2-0 up after 10 minutes, didn't they? Yeah. Last season at the Etihad. Then we could be in all sorts of trouble. And you're already thinking damage limitation, aren't you? Because this could be a cricket score. So that, I understand what you mean. It makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah.
I worry that because we've not played a competitive game,
yeah.
and because they are the champions who, you know, yes, they've had a couple of changes. Jesus and Zinchenko have gone out and Sterling. But this 90% of that squad's the same.
Yeah.
That they've been playing all season. And they seem like they're getting into the rhythm now, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? They've sort of had a couple of draws, I think, and now they've started just winning.
Yeah.
Going into us, and we're feeling a little bit of rust where it takes us 10 minutes to get into the game,
mm-hmm.
and those 10 minutes could be critical. Now, I might be completely wrong. You know, we soak up pressure, we hit him on the break, we win 5-0. Happy days. But it's just, it does worry me a little bit. So I get your argument that, you know, the game's getting postponed, especially with what we saw elsewhere. Yeah. It's frustrating.
So yeah, that's my Wally of the Week.
Your Wally of the Week.
Whose is yours? Or who is yours?
I'm going to go with Philip Schofield, man. I can't stand that, man.
Go on.
I could care less about jibbing in. We've all done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jibbing in, all right, you've done it at the queue for the Queen's coffin or whatever.
Mm.
So it's a bit different than jibbing in the queue for, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like getting the fast pass at Alton Towers, is
it? But it's like, he's such a smarmy git. Do you know what I mean? Spinning wheels to win your gas bills and all that. I just can't stand him. Now he's sort of been elevated to this national treasure type iconic figure.
Mm.
He's just a muppet. He's so dislikable. I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? I don't see any redeeming qualities to him. He's just a lot proper Tory. And, you know, you can have nice Tories. It can happen. But he ain't one of them.
Mm.
Yeah, so I can't be dealing with him. So, yeah, sorry to anyone who's a mad Philip Schofield. And I know Ollie Willoughby was there. She can join him. But I've just got a thing for Philip Schofield. I can't stand the guy. Anyway, digress. Get involved in the comments in the chat and let us know what you think about any of those things. There's a link in the chat for Joe's video talking about the fixture pile-up and how Manchester United and Erik ten Hag and the players are going to have to deal with that. You can find Joe as well on Sloppy Joe's. Have you got a video out there at the minute?
Yeah, we've got a podcast out tomorrow, brand new podcast, so make sure you check that out. Sloppy Joe's podcast. Search that on YouTube or Spotify.
And myself and David Scott, aka R-Kid, will be live at 7. We're going to be doing a podcast at 7, so check that out for Scotty and Moy. But most importantly, make sure you are subscribing to this channel. There's a link in the chat for that. Subscribe to the channel. Don't forget as well to use the code DEVILS20 for your Manscaped needs. There's a link in the description for that as well. You get 20% off and free shipping. So big thanks to Manscaped. Big thanks to Joe, and a big thanks to all you lot who got involved. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.